Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Why should we love the Savior? Why should we love the Savior? And yesterday I watched Dr. David Gibbs Jr. Okay, that's the founder of the Christian Law Association, and they did a YouTube short with him talking about wanting what a black lady had in his life and how it transformed him. And he was talking, but he was there to preach, and he sat down next to this lady, and I can't remember her name, but she's going, "What you doing here, white boy?" And he says, "This white boy's here to preach." And he says, "You got the stuff?" And she goes, "You don't got the stuff. Don't waste our time. One of our men got the stuff. They'll bring it." Okay. And he's going, "I got the stuff." You know, and he's going, "I never had a lady talk to me like this." And her name was Angela. And he's turning around. He's talking about it. And she goes, "And you know how to sing, white boy?" And he goes, "Yeah, I know how to sing. I love to sing Jesus." He says, "Well, in this church, we're going to sing for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And then you better be able to bring the stuff for about an hour, hour and a half, because we come to church wanting to hear from Jesus. And if you don't have the stuff, don't waste our time." And he kept going. And he goes, "You're really excited about this." She goes, "When I begin to worship, you need to move over a chair, because I need my room." Okay, and he's talking about this lady, and he's going, and he's turning around, and she meant it. And they started singing. And all of a sudden, he was getting excited. And he goes, "Lord, I hope I got the stuff." And he got all excited about her. And, you know, and she goes, "Because I love my Savior, and I worship him." Do you worship him? Or is it about you, white boy? And he got up and preached, and she was amening, and she was that. And he said, "She got me all excited. I normally don't preach." He preaches a half hour to 40 minutes max normally. Well, that day he had the stuff. Okay, and he got done preaching. He went and talked to the pastor of the church. He was preaching in a black Baptist church. Okay, and saved the same way. They just more emotional. Okay, but he turned around and he asked her about her. And he says, "Well, she's a special lady." And he goes, "A year ago, her husband took her two little boys, or her two teenage boys, to went to the grocery store. And before they got into the store, they were shotgunned down by a gang member. All three were killed. And 6 months ago, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And she's got our whole church excited because she's going to worship him until she sees him. And then she's going to fall at his knees. Why do you love God? Why do you love him? Should you love him?" Psalm 116. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call on him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of his people. Why do you love God? Do you love God? First thing you need to know, his provision. If you look at the world, you lose sight of him. If you spend your time looking at him, you know what you'll lose sight of? The world. The world. His provision. Look at 1 John. You need to put a marker in 1 John. We're going to come back to that quite a few times. But 1 John, his provision. I want you to think about this. Here in his love, verse 10 of 1 John 4, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. His provision. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners, Christ died for us, and is saying so much more that he lives for us. 2 Timothy 1:7. Whatever you're facing, do you claim the promise? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes I wonder how God does that, because, you know, like I tell you all the time, I'm a kook. And sometimes people go, what was he thinking? And sometimes, you know, I spend a lot of time saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Help me to set my affections on you. What's the first and great commandment? You've heard it. I've used it recently. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thyself. No. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. See, God's provided for us. You know what he's also done? 2 Timothy 4. Let me see here. 2 Timothy 4. You know, sometimes people can feel very alone. You go through things you don't think anybody else knows about it. Sometimes you don't want anybody else to know what you're going through. Sometimes you think they don't even understand. It always makes me think of refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. When thy father and mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving arms I have drawn thee. Drawn thee. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. This is Paul's testimony towards the end of his life. And he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. See, he wasn't looking for recompense to come upon them. This is the same man who said, Alexander the coppersmith had done me much evil. Let him be what? Anathema, Maranatha. Anathema is a pretty strong statement. We'll go and get to that part tonight. But he's talking about cursed, cursed of God. That's the same one who split with who? Barnabas? Over who? John Mark, who started with them as a young man and didn't have the stuff. And he pulled back for whatever reason, family, whatever it is. And it got so contentious between Barnabas, who was trying to keep this young man going, and Paul, who was going and said, you keep up, that they departed. And Silas went with Paul. Do you know what I love about my Bible? God is never done with you when you think he's done with you. At the end of his life, he says, bring John Mark with you, for he is, what's that? Profitable for what? For the ministry. See, people think, well, God's done with me, or I can't do this, I can't do that. Someone who turned back. I mean, Jesus said, you know, don't put your hand to the plow when turning back. You see how God worked in that? He was profitable. You may not be profitable at this moment. Maybe you need healing. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Knowing what? Ye yourselves likewise also can be tempted. Bear ye one other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So he says, bring him, he's needful. You don't know what God's going to use, and you don't know who God is going to use, and you don't know how God is going to use them. You know where that comes to me? It comes to me and say, Lord, help me, because I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Get my will out of the way, Lord. Get my will out of the way. For at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Do you ever want something to happen to somebody who let you down? When you grow, you know what you're going to find out? Lord, help me to see them through your eyes. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, who's that a reference to? Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. And 18, it says, and the Lord shall, see, he delivered him, and he shall deliver me from every evil work, and will, present tense, forward, preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, whom be glory forever, to whom be glory forever and ever. What? Amen. What does amen mean? Your agreement with it. So be it. So be it. Let it be. Not the Beatles way of let it be. Okay. So you see God's provision for my salvation, for my protection. Why should I love him? We love God because he first loved us. It's personal. Judy and I have witnessed to some people recently. They claim to love God. They love their religion. They love their church. They're sincere, and they may love God, but do they love the God of the Bible? Do they love the Creator God? Do they love the righteous judge? Do they love him to be able to say he is always good and he is always right? Do they love him? Why should you love him? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this text, I got to read the whole thing so you understand why, but it says in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with who? Lost people. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Sometimes that's in your own family, and you're still with them, okay? But it's saying that's not where your heart should totally be. Okay? I'm supposed to be like Christ. You know where the first way it's read to reach somebody with Jesus for Jesus Christ? On some have compassion making a difference. And others hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. See, because religion can't save you. Jesus can. God so loved, he gave. God commendeth his love. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When you're yoked with them, that means you're walking in step with them. Do you understand me when I say that? That's why you can't put an ox and an ass together. A mule, they don't move at the same rate. They don't mix mules and horses unless it becomes absolutely necessary because they don't move the same. All right? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my. Wherefore come out from among them. Don't walk in lockstep with them. You're in the world, just not of the world. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will what? Receive you. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you know how many people have maybe gone to hell? People who didn't get saved for a long, long time because of the ramifications of a horrible biological, physical father. And when you talk to them about God, their father, and they go, don't talk to me about that. Ones who hurt their children, abusive alcoholics, people doing things off of drugs to their children. And then you try to tell them, God's your heavenly father. They don't sense love through that. You have to show them the difference. See, because God is love. Do you realize that? You don't harm him if you don't love him. You harm you. He is complete in himself. His love is all-encompassing. It doesn't hurt God's love. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But, you know, when you withhold love from God, that doesn't hurt God because God is love. It hurts you. When we hold it back, it robs us of that personal relationship. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. See, it's a personal relationship. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Next book in your Bible, after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 3. You still with me? Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. You don't come to God by keeping a set of rules. I got saved out of a church that had that. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the... Well, I don't know if they're saved. They're not like me. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, you mean I've got to go through the water? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual baptism. But you become what? Children of who? You know what the religion people want to teach? They want to teach the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. No. There's God, the Heavenly Father, and those who become His children by receiving His Son. Other, He's not your Father. The most religious, most serious, work-oriented group in Israel at the time of Christ was the Pharisees. They had rules upon rules. And He told them, ye are of your father, the devil. You know, why should you love God? Because He wants it personal. Now, we talked about it being children, right? Well, does that mean me? Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the what? The adoption of sons. That makes me run back to Romans chapter 8. If it doesn't make you run back to Romans chapter 8, spend some more time in your Bible. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into where? Crying, Abba, Father. If you're saved, your spirit ought to bear witness with His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit ought to bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's the security promised. That's the love that's given. You're mine. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, trying to earn your way into the family, but a son. And if a son, then what? An heir of God through Christ. Think about that. You know what happens? So many times people just won't listen. They don't listen. You know one thing Satan's doing right now? He's drawing the attention off of. Do you know how many different false doctrines you can find on YouTube right now? See, I go on YouTube because I look at cancer a lot. My poor wife, my daughter said, Daddy, quit doom scrolling. Okay? Because I'm learning everything. Because I'm a man, and men fix things, right, Larry? And when you can't, that's just the truth. And I can't fix it. But I have a God who can. Amen? Amen? And then I look at all these different Jesus things, you know, and I look at it, and every doctrine that you want in the world comes up. Christians who don't believe that Jesus is physically coming back and building a case. Christians who believe the earth is flat. Christians who believe you can lose it after He bought you. That you can be kicked out of the family once you're adopted. They don't even understand the laws of the United States of America. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You still with me? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15. For ye put your name there. If you've trusted Christ, put your name there. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why should you love him? Because he provided your salvation. He'll provide an eternal place for you. We've never found his children begging bread unless they leave the family home. He provides for them, he protects them, and it's personal. I led a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Cruz Howe, I led his father, Cruz Howe Sr., to the Lord. He was baptized for the dead 80 times in Salt Lake City, Utah, for the dead. Trying to make it so those people could then eventually enter into what? He didn't get saved until in his 70s. He lived to be in his late 80s. When I led him to the Lord, he was in hospital and hospice. And I talked to Cruz, and he said, Bryant, would you please go talk to my dad? I led him to the Lord. God raised him off that bed of sickness. He lived a ton of more years. John prayed for that man. Prayed for that man. I witnessed the doctors as they're trying to take care of him because his heart was just shot within him. He was a bomb disposal lieutenant during World War II. That wasn't what you call a long-standing type of job. He got saved. He and his wife and Judy and I, he'd take us out to eat at lunch. Come on, we're going to lunch, Bryant. And he'd ask questions, and he'd talk about things. When he got married, he became a Methodist. Still trying to earn it. Still looking at water baptism. You don't understand United Methodist Church? Profess Christ? Get dunked. Or you're not saved. When he accepted Christ, he started telling people. And he goes, I haven't visited his church, but my pastor comes in and gets adjusted by my son. And we have church before he leaves. He'd ask Bible questions because he had long knowledge. He knew all about Mormonism. He knew all about the United Methodist Church. He knew all this stuff. And then he found Jesus, or said Jesus found him. He told his wife, he told his son, Bryant's preaching my funeral. Biggest funeral I've ever done. 500 people came to his funeral because of the people he had touched through his life and helped. People come into that office today and go, I remember you. You preached senior's funeral. I accepted Christ when you preached his funeral. You say, why do I say that? because he went from religion to a personal relationship, and he wanted people to come to Christ. I think they visited maybe one time here through the years. They live up in Salve. He went from religion to a personal relationship. Do you ever think about this? God giving us love, showing love towards us when we were unlovable. Unlovable. Nasty, selfish, mean. You want to know what people are like? Take the nursery workers out of the nursery and put the toddlers in there to police themselves. He who swings the hardest wins, huh, Carla? Brother against brother, brother against sister, sister against brother. Mind, yours, I want, I take. When we're unlovable. He loved us. He still loves us. And he knows every hair. Some of us, the job is easier than it used to be. Every hair on our head, every thought we've ever thought, every word we've ever spoken, every untoward thing we've ever done. He knows everything. And he still extended his love towards me. That's why we should love him. Next week, what we should do to show our love to him. And all God's people said, amen. Good night and God bless.